And welcome to the Under the Bus podcast. I am Clayton, joined by Merge as always. How you doing, Merge?
Man, every time we podcast, it feels like we're in the middle of a podcast.
Yes.
We start and we're like, an hour, it's been an hour, right?
Yeah, pretty much. We're stupid. And then also joined by our great buddy as well, Alan. How you doing, Alan?
I want to say happy belated Thanksgiving to all my American listeners right now. You know, I hope you all had a wonderful, wonderful time with your families. Happy statehood day to my people of Bosnia and Herzegovina, and happy CM Punk day to all those who are celebrating.
This is gonna come out after he doesn't come.
And I'll tomorrow all, morning. And I will take all the hits that doesn't happen. Happy CM Punk Day to all those who have celebrated.
All right. So, since the last time we recorded last weekend, the Lakers have played three games. They barely beat the Rockets. They curb stomped the Utah Jazz, and they barely lost to the Dallas Mavericks. I've got some opinions, of course, on some of those. I admittedly did not get to watch the Rockets game. So I won't really talk much about that one. I'll mainly focus on the Utah Jazz one and the Dallas Mavericks. But first things first, we wanted to get to talking to about Austin Reaves coming off the bench. That was a talking point last week, and it should continue one. Before we started recording, we were saying that, you know what, it probably is working out really well for him because he can get rolling against those second units, and then it continues on for honestly rest of the game. Mm-hmm. I think I'm pretty happy with it. The Darvin Ham comp to, or roll comp to Manu Ginobili, I think was really good. Now against Dallas specifically, there was a couple mess ups, of course. We'll get to those in a little bit, but overall, been very happy with bench Austin. I think, Merge, you were looking for the stats or may have the stats of how he's doing. If not, I believe it's like 16-5-5 or something like that. Am I correct?
Yeah, give me a second. I'll figure it out. But yeah, the last time I saw those numbers, I think it was after the Jazz game, and it was 15-5-5 with a steal. And he was shooting over 40% from three, over 50% from the field, about 80%, which is the season average from the free throw line. Gained there more, for sure, as well, in terms of getting fouled more. He's looked a lot more like playoff Austin or the late season after Russ was traded Austin that we saw last year.
Yeah.
It's impressive that he's only shooting 34% from three so this year, and he's still shooting 46% from the field, which I think is pretty impressive still. I'm trying to find his true shooting. But he's been a lot more efficient. That pull-up jumper has been hitting a lot more. The main thing about his issues right now is
57% true shooting. Almost really good. Pretty much 57.7%.
And if he can get that the 3-point percent back up to like the 37 plus he had last year, that you're looking at like a 60 plus true shooting percentage. Mm-hmm. It's very impressive. So his biggest issue still is when they make him be the primary creator, which still happens from time to time. And when he's not working off a LeBron or a D'Angelo or an AD or whatever, he's trying to go one-on-one ISO, step back, pull up, or get game by a guy and throwing something up. And it's just not working as much. He's a guy that you want being that secondary guy more often because he's going to be attacking guys who aren't as set. And when he gets that, and like Raj said last podcast, he's special in that aspect when he's attacking off-balance defenses. And he's still making some really nice 10 to 15 footers around the rim. I don't know what his numbers are off the rim, but he seems to make some really difficult layups still. That's the thing that's been true since his college days. He's just a difficult layup maker.
85% at the basket.
85%. For a guy who attacks the rim a decent amount, you know, for a guy his size or with his athleticism. And he's not this player, obviously, but his ability to make difficult layups around the rim. It reminds me a lot of Dwayne Wade. I don't know if you guys remember how Dwayne Wade would just constantly make the most absurd layups around the rim and the most absurd, like contorting his body or whatever. And Austin gets those as well. The playmaking has been really good still. I think he's averaging close to 5 a game. I know he's averaging over 5 since going to the bench. It's just in that pick and roll when he's able to dump it off or when he's able to work on that secondary ball handling, like I said, he's just a really solid player. He's an above average starter if he was starting, but he's one of the best bench players in the league at this point. If not a guy who I think you could see being a front runner for sixth man of the year as it gets down, because right now, normally it's like a scoring title, right, for that bench player, but like the top bench guy scoring is like 18 right now, and Austin's at around 15. I can see him scoring more as the season goes along, and he's coming off the bench still. That's probably a guy who's going to at least be a finalist for sixth man of the year. Not like it matters that much at the end of the day, but it'll be cool to see Austin be rewarded for his improvement. But yeah, I've been impressed. He was really good for like 95% of that fourth quarter against the Mavericks. That 5% I'm talking about is the leaving Kyrie wide open for a three, which, unfortunate. You shouldn't be leaving Kyrie Irving open from three in a game where you're up by two.
Yeah.
You should be running him off the line. I know Kyrie is good off the dribble, like, you know, but you can't. He's one of the best shooters in the league when he's on. He's one of the best shooters in the league. So
yeah,
you can't do that. But him and LeBron were the only reason why it was even a game to begin with. So I'll take that over one mistake. Yeah. They're down by 22 going into the fourth quarter, right?
Let me check.
It was at least 20. It was somewhere around that. And it was basically just LeBron and Austin taking turns scoring or assisting each other. Taurean had a couple of baskets, but which kind of salvaged his really bad game that he was having, that he's been having. So we're not in that spot without Austin making the plays he did, but it's also unfortunate that he left open Kyrie Irving for a wide open three. Never should have happened. LeBron
down by made 18.
18. So LeBron also made a mistake of shooting a pull-up three over Kyrie Irving when you had like 14 seconds left on the shot clock and it's Kyrie Irving. Like, you're LeBron James. Run through him. If you get called for a charge, so be it.
Yeah.
Run through him.
I think Kyrie had a couple good plays on defense.
Yeah.
Like how he stopped Austin at
Kyrie's the really court. Trying in Dallas. Whatever they're doing to get him to buy in, they need to continue it, because this is the most bought in I've seen Kyrie since the Cleveland days.
Oh, he's genuinely been a top 5 point guard this year. Like, he's been that good.
He's been awesome. He's been I watch a lot of Dallas because they're on quite a lot here in the UK and Europe. Mm-hmm. So watch quite a bit of Dallas outside it, because just unreal. You're saying it in the DMs, but I've watched quite a lot, and outside of Luka, Kyrie's been right there with him, man.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. We've had our conversations about Kyrie. People know my feelings on him as a human. Mm-hmm. Him as a basketball player, you know, the overall package. When he's on like this, there's what? Steph, who is like definitively better than him.
Yeah, maybe Dame, but I think I would go
even,
Kyrie.
Even Dame. Because I think Kyrie's better.
He's proven it also on bigger stages too.
Precisely. And I think
would you count Shea as a point guard?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then Shea's better than Kyrie. I'd rather have Shea personally.
I'd rather have Shea because he's younger, right? And he's not an ass. But I also get why people would rather have Kyrie Irving at the same time. Like, just on a skill set. I'm not talking about extenuating factors. Because when you take all the extenuating factors into account, yeah, like, no contest. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, 100%. But
I think, like, a Haliburton has been better than Kyrie, but Kyrie's proven it at the...
Exactly.
In the playoffs.
I think Kyrie's proven it more than Shea has as well, which is why, in a playoff situation, if we're just talking, again, just purely, you know, we're For all the clowning we do of players here on the podcast, and we do, and for all our beliefs on, you know, on, and we have strong beliefs, but we 100% mean what we say, we also are very objective when it comes to analyzing players. Kyrie Irving's one of the best playoff performers there's ever been. Like whenever he's played, he's been absolutely phenomenal in the playoffs.
He's kind of like a Madison Bumgarner, if I make a comparison.
I think that's an incredible comp. Yeah, that's a really
guy that you don't really like, but have proven it to be an insane playoff performer when he's got an opportunity to be.
Yeah. So, you know, I absolutely it sucked to lose. It really did because we clawed it back, but on Austin, it's so good to see him performing like this, especially because, and Twitter is a cesspool of shit, right? And we all agree on that. I still refuse to call it by its official name now. Twitter was just starting to turn on us and going, oh, I can't believe we gave him this contract. 13 million is the MLE. Shut the hell up, first of all. Like, you know, I can't believe people were starting to like doubt any of it. And Austin's great. Literally just let things play out. And, you know, the cream rises to the top, and Austin's just, I'm so glad he's in this role. And it's one of the things that Darvin's done phenomenally as well, mm-hmm. is putting him into this role.
For sure. And yeah,
we've always talked about his ability to have players.
I countered Bomb really quick. They were down by 20 going into the fourth. You were right.
They were. But, okay.
Yeah. But yeah.
That's one thing that Darvin has done well, and I think has like consistently done well, is make sure players stay bought in when certain things, certain situations change. And like with Lonnie Walker back, he was essentially playing like 25 plus minutes before he got hurt in the beginning of last season, and then got benched because when he came back, he wasn't that good, and then we traded for everyone and so on and so forth. But then he ended up performing well in the playoffs, not one game. It's what he's done with, what he's doing with Austin. We've seen him do it with guys like Rui, with guys like that. So that is one thing that we can all agree on, that Darvin has been very, very good at as a coach.
Yes. Yeah. I agree. All right, let's go ahead and move on. Do we want to talk about the person I've been bashing on the last like three or four podcasts, or?
Or do you want to talk about the guy that you love?
let's start with hate. Let's start with hate. Okay. I promise I won't rail on too long about that. But Taurean fucking Prince is still at 30 minutes a game. And this motherfucker takes the six most shots on the Lakers. He can't grab a rebound. Max Christie has the same amount of rebounds in like a third of the minutes. It's pathetic. The dude can't shoot. He's now finally up to 27.4%. How? I have no idea, because he's still shooting 13% from the corner. I can't stand it. And not even to just be mean to Taurean. I can't just be like, he could be a great guy, but Darvin Ham, what in the flying fuck are you doing? Like, I still just don't understand. Darvin has done a lot of great things. Like we were talking about Lonnie. I would have happily paid Lonnie what Taurean got, because Lonnie in Brooklyn got the minimum. I would easily trade the two for one another right now. Without a second thought, I would do it. And that's not just my love for Lonnie either. Like, I can't. Like, if you want to say Taurean is a better defender, Winnie, sure. But when Lonnie tries on defense last year, he was much better. He's just a better basketball player. Taurean, like, you have Taurean in 30.3 minutes is averaging 2.1 rebounds. That is up from last week. He's continuing to move forward. But again, it's 30 total rebounds. That's it. 30 in 424 minutes. The fifth most on the team. How? How? And how, tell me how in two more games, how has he played 150-ish minutes more than Rui Hachimura? That makes absolutely no sense to me. Darvin needs to stop the chub that he has going on for him and just stop it. Like, I don't know. Does anyone else want to touch on Taurean, or did I just get it off my chest and I'm
whatever
good?
Clayton just said.
Thank you.
We all share the same opinions. I know we're passionate about it, but we all share the opinions.
I think what gets me is that, like, when people are saying, well, Max just isn't ready, and we'll transition into Max. Max, the last two games, has played more because, obviously, Cam pulled a groin or something like that. He's questionable for tonight against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Mm-hmm. But most likely, I doubt he plays. They'll probably give him another game or two, I think. But Max has played more. Now, has he shot remarkably well? No. He's 4-for-20 from the 3-point line. He has not shot overly well. But Taurean is not like he's lighting the world on fire. He's 17-for-62 at 27%. Like, and as I said, 13% from the corners, where he's taking like 50% of his shots. So, like, there's that. Max has 30 rebounds in 161 minutes. So, you know, 260 plus minutes less. 30 rebounds, the same total. It's just ridiculous. Shown to be a pretty good rebounder. I also think he's played really good defense. We talked about how Cam, before people really started to notice how much better his defense was, right? Against like the Clippers, when he was guarding Kawhi, and everyone's like, Cam's not guarding well. Kawhi was just making shots. Sometimes an offensive dude is just better, you know?
Yep.
And then when he was guarding PG in the fourth quarter, and PG was just going off. And again, he was playing really good defense. It was just that PG was making shots, because those two, regardless of how we like to make fun of the Clippers, are superstars still. They are still superstars. So, like, they're going to make their shots. That's what they're paid to do. That's why, you know, they're so highly regarded. Max hasn't been defending Kawhi or Paul George, but he did defend Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. And he was having some of the same momentum of where he was playing really good. And Luka started, I think, 0-for-5 and ended up shooting only like 40% overall. And Kyrie got his points, but I don't think he shot particularly well either. Max did really, really did a good job on both of them, in my opinion. Those guys would just make shots on him. Kyrie, because as we said, we may not personally like him, but like when he's on, like he's gonna make his shots. And same thing with Luka. And I will say that the dunk that Max had on Derek Lively, or was it Rashawn? No, it was Lively. And the third quarter,
before Lively blew his knee or whatever happened to him.
His back. He hurt his back. Yeah. He landed hard. Because his hands, he should have held on to the rim, but it looked like his hands, he lost grip and landed like straight on like his lower back. So he was out rest of the game. But right after that, So Max yammed on him, and then he also had I think it was Derek Jones or one of Dallas's quote unquote defenders, and he did like a wraparound pass to AD for an easy basket.
That was the Utah game. Or no,
No, that was against Dallas, because that was the one I was in the DMs about. I'm pretty sure. Now you're making me second guess myself.
I remember him making a really good pass, like after he came in for Cam, after Cam got hurt.
Yeah, that's what I remember as well.
So I'm pretty sure it was that Utah game.
But he could have made one against Dallas as well.
I mean, he could. He had really good passing instincts for a guard. Like he's not your. He don't want to be a primary ball handler. But I mean, I think he flashed. And I know summer league, but he flashed some secondary playmaking. And Summer League, and he's had a couple of nice passes this year.
Yeah, I am looking at it. I am pretty sure, because I didn't message the chat at all.
Huh.
during the Utah watch. But I'm pretty sure it was after the dunk, but you could be right. You could be right. I've watched, you know, essentially two games in a short amount of time. But like that was nice to see as well. Like he's shown the passing chops. He has in 161 minutes only 9 assists, but I mean, like, he's not handling the ball a lot, you know. Torian has 17 assists,
yeah,
in a lot more minutes. So you know, there's that. But I think he's playing well. I like the aggressiveness that he's shown. 3 for 8, I think, against Utah, and then 3 for 7 against Dallas. So not like he was lighting the world on fire in either of those games. But looked good. Didn't look out of place. Defended well. It's exactly what I said they should be doing. Letting the young guy play, and I don't think he's hurting them. I can't think of a play where I was like, "Damn it, Max!" You know. Well, there were plenty of plays where I was like, "Damn it, Torian, what are you doing?" Like, you know. And obviously, I like Max a lot, but like, I can be, you know, unbiased and be, you know,
objective.
Objective. Thank you.
You can be objective. We talked. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, there was like Max, I think, had a pull up three that, like, that was a bad shot, dude. I think he had one in the corner.
AD had like someone sealed in in the post, and he, it was a 5-on-4, and he pulled up. He did a pull up three. Can't do that, obviously.
Yeah. There was also a corner three where there was a guy a little too close where I wish he would have pump faked and tried to attack the closeout. But overall, like, you know, if that is what I'm really complaining about for a 20-year-old compared to a guy that's about to be 30, he's making less mistakes playing, in my opinion, he's playing better defense, but that could be me being unobjective on that. What do you guys think? Do you think Torian is playing really good defense? Because I can't often think of times where I'm just like, you know what, that was really good defensive play by Torian. Maybe
he isn't
a little bit, but I don't.
The main reason I know he isn't is because I'm always complaining that he's on a certain player.
Yeah,
he's always on guards, and Luka, I think he was fine on Luka. Luka didn't like kill us, and I think the body type works a lot better for Torian is a guy like Luka. But like, I've seen so many times where he gets put on a Jamal Murray, he gets put on a Kyrie Irving, he gets put on a Fred VanVleet for some reason. Like people like that, and you're just like, why is he on a guy like that? If anything, like, I think he's been a good help defender, but he doesn't really get the opportunity to, because he's always on ball. He's always on a primary ball handler.
Yeah, he's a bad.
If it's going to be a guy who's handling the ball a lot, Luka or that body type is probably for the best. Or he should be on a guy who's like him, who is supposed to be a wing shooter.
I agree. Ellen?
Torian has been, and I think matchups hasn't helped it, to be honest. Like, me and Merge have texted many a time during the Laker game and gone, why is Torian on this guy? It makes no sense whatsoever. But also, I also think that knowing Darvin's coaching style, he tries out a bunch of stuff, now knowing him for a season plus, he tries out a bunch of stuff in the regular season to see if it will work, and if not, he won't use it in the postseason. Which, if this is something that he's trying with Torian, okay, cool. Like, I don't like it. But if it means that
thanks, I hate it.
but like, do you know what I mean? It's not something that I'll be absolutely worried about in the future, because there's enough sample size there, and Darvin's proven himself that if there is enough sample size, he won't go to it in the postseason, which is a good thing. Max, however, like, he's a restricted free agent. Objectively, he should be, unless. And we've talked about this a little bit pre-recording. Unless you're getting like a superstar, in some type of trade, which I don't think will happen, to be honest with you. But
Like a Donovan Mitchell level guy.
yeah, unless that's happening,
Yeah.
Max Christie is going to be on the team for the foreseeable future. And it just makes more sense to invest in a guy like Max than it does a guy like Taurean Prince. And that's coming from someone, and if you guys remember, I was probably the most, I wasn't over the moon, but I was like, yeah, it's a good signing. For 4 million, you could do a lot worse. He's a good player. Has he been as good as he has been in previous stops? No, but I also think we're overexposing him with his minutes, like you've touched on, Clay. I think he's like a 20 to 22 minute. I know you've said less, but I
Oh,
think 20
yeah.
to 22, I think 20 to 22 minutes, if you are going to play him, is right around the sweet spot.
Yeah,
Like
three
15 to
shifts
18.
max.
Yeah, he's a free shift guy for me. That's what he is. Like a 6 to 8 minutes, depending on how he's playing. If he's playing badly, he's 6 minutes. If he's playing, because even when he's playing like super, super badly, it's not like Russell Westbrook level of bad or Beverly level of bad where he's costing you games, right?
No, he gets to do that.
Yeah, he doesn't do that. So, which is why I don't mind giving him the free shift. He shouldn't be playing as much as he does, and I'd much rather we invest in a guy like Max Christie.
I agree. I at 30.3 minutes a game, he is playing 7 more minutes a game than Cam Reddish overall. Now, I will say that Cam's minutes were up before the injury, so that's neither here nor there. But with Rui's only playing 23.3 minutes a game.
And he's
I
been
don't
good this year, but that's
I
the thing,
don't
he's
get
been
it.
good.
I literally you can't tell me an argument that makes any sense why Taurean is playing more than him. There's none. You, like Darvin Ham could come to my house and try and tell me, and I would laugh in his face. There's no legitimate reason to have Taurean Prince playing more than the guy you're paying $17 million a year. And this isn't like a like Westbrook thing where like it's 47 million and you're essentially wanting to play him because he's making all that money. It's not
But
that. Like,
even that, it's not like it's a Westbrook thing and he's playing horribly. Rui has been really good this year.
yeah. No, it makes no sense. There's nothing there that can be argued. Now, I will say that obviously Vando has not played this year.
Big
Rui
thing.
missed a game. Rui missed a game this year. Cam Reddish
He's gonna
now has
miss
been,
another week or so, Rui, at least.
like Cam Reddish has been out. So like when
LeBron's missed a game.
so who?
LeBron's missed a game.
Yeah. So like factoring that in, I get him playing more minutes than I would like, right? I still say I am adamant that 12 to 15 is the only amount of minutes that I would give him unless he was just on a heater, which we have not seen from him. If
He was on a
you were
heater the game against the Nuggets. That was the very first game
the
he made
first
like
game, and
five threes.
it seems like it left an impression with Darvin, and Darvin's like, you know what? This is him. This is what he is. And ever since then, Darvin hasn't adjusted. So, like right now, I get not taking his minutes back, right? Because you're missing,
Necessity.
you know, I mean, even like Gabe Vincent being out,
Yeah, I mean,
because like
Torian is essentially the two
he
in
is,
that starting
and
lineup.
which this and this is why like I was arguing with Raj about why how he says like he should essentially be our two. Of those guys that you named that he's defended, Kyrie, Jamal Murray, you know, others,
Fred,
small,
yeah.
yeah. He does not defend those guys well. He defends up better, like a Luka, who Luka's not like Luka's what, 6'8" or so, like, and he's not super quick, you know. He's quick for his size, especially, you know. But
Oh,
like
yeah.
he like Luka, if Luka wasn't such a great ball handler and distributor, he would essentially be a four. That's why I keep saying like I would play him as essentially the four. And I get it, like he doesn't rebound, but he doesn't defend lower either. That's the thing. Like he may have the length to do it. He may be able to. No, he can't really play a point of attack to do it. Like he's got the length for it, and that's essentially it. And he can move his feet relatively well, but he doesn't move his feet well enough to defend those guys. So like that's a problem, you know. If you want a guy to play a point of attack defense, Rui has been playing much better at that than him. And Rui is bigger and stronger. Max Christie at this point.
Vando when he's healthy, yeah.
Vando when he's healthy. Cam Reddish like has been all NBA level.
LeBron when he gives a shit.
Yeah. Like it's like like Taurean is playing of the guys in the rotation, I think he's legitimately the worst defender. Like Austin has had moments of bad
defense. Austin and D'Lo, I'd say, are objectively worse.
Oh, yes. Like, no, for sure.
They're probably smarter defensively, though.
And that's the thing. And they're also not put in usually a position to F them up most of the time. Right. And so, again, that kind of goes on Darvin. But, like, mm-hmm. I don't get it. D'Lo has had moments of bad defense, but he's been this year still better than he has been in the past. He's still continuing.
He's got a lot of hands on balls. Like got a lot of deflections.
I would like to see what his deflection, how many deflections he has, because
probably
I don't,
his best defensive year.
Yeah, I don't think that, because I mean he only has 8 steals, but D'Lo has 10 blocks. He has the same amount of blocks as LeBron. That's hysterical. But. By the way, shout out to D'Lo. Remember at the beginning of the year, people were freaking the hell out because he was shooting like 27% from three. Well, he's at 40% now. So shout out to D'Lo.
It's almost like elite 3-point shooters regress positively mm-hmm. after having bad stints. It's amazing.
Yep.
Right. Which is why we should be expecting Austin's number to pick up as well pretty soon.
Yeah, and that is why with Taurean,
he's going to shoot it better.
He's going to shoot it better. Maybe he doesn't shoot it better in LA. Maybe he shoots it better in
Chicago. I think it'll be better than 13% from the corners, though.
Oh, yes.
Though.
Yes. No. Yes. Sure.
At least 25%. Give me that.
Yeah. Yeah. There will be some positive regression. But my thing is Taurean is just taking too many shots. And it's just frustrating me. Like last week when we had Raj on, when he had said that he was being a chucker, and I found that really interesting because like I didn't think of it that way. But like watching Dallas and then the Utah game, I was just like, buddy, you shouldn't be like. And he made a couple of the shots, but I was just like, that's you know, like why are we making him a part of the offense so much, you know? Like, why are we running plays for Taurean Prince? We don't do that for Cam Reddish, who's a better ball handler and everything. Like, and
we seem to do that just as much for like Austin, equal amount, which it should not be.
It's so weird. I don't get it. But back to Max, because I feel like I went back to Taurean. It's because in my mind, essentially, I would flip the two. Now, I wouldn't give Max 30 minutes a game. I would not do that. Would
25? I'm cool with.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, give like how I said, Taurean, 12 to 15. See how he's playing. You know, Max instead of 30. Say you give Rui the 30 and give Max the 23. You know, like I think that fixes quite a bit of it. In my opinion.
And like we've said ad nauseum since the season started, this obviously changes when Vando is back. It obviously changes when Cam is healthy. This probably also changes if Gabe would come back, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. So, all right. We kind of mentioned Cam and Rui being out. Rui apparently broke his nose against Dallas. Yeah.
Math Rui, we're gonna be getting a Math Rui sometime,
right? do you guys remember that at all? Because I was watching, I was looking for it and I don't remember it at all.
No, I mean, from what I remember, because he didn't really, I think he played that beginning stint in the fourth, right?
I think so.
And then he got taken out around like the 8-7 minute mark, something like that, as they were going on their run for, I think, like AD. Or like Taurean or something, but like I don't remember anything. Maybe he like didn't notice and he was running on adrenaline, and then like after the fact he's like, "What the fuck? My nose feels a little weird." Then maybe, but I don't remember any specific like moment where I'm like, "Oh, his face got hit. He got whacked in the face or something, or he bumped into someone."
Yeah. No, Yeah,
no, neither do I.
that was weird. Maybe he did it in the locker room, threw something, and it hit him back in the face, and they just tried to say it happened in the game.
Pulled a you play a Goldberg.
Yeah, something. But
he does headbutt. Goldberg would just headbutt fucking doors.
Oh my!
To get himself hype, and he legitimately, like, he did it before he had that match with the Undertaker. Sorry, weird tangent. But like when they were both old as fuck, and Undertaker almost died, he legitimately hit his head on something, and he had a concussion the whole match.
That's fantastic. Fantastic. I don't want to actually, I don't want to end quickly, and especially off of that. But I did want to kind of talk about obviously the games coming up. But real quick, we mentioned the Utah game slightly. There wasn't really much to take away from that game, in my opinion, because it was such a blowout. What they went by 32.
I was surprised. Because the Jazz have gave the Suns like two very close games back to back, where they both, I think they both went to overtime, and KD had to score like 40 points each game for them to win.
I mean, the Suns suck, so is it that surprising?
Will Hardy's an excellent coach.
Oh no!
Did you guys see that clip of the reporters telling LeBron that Hardy's younger than him?
How the fuck are the Suns 10-6?
They've racked up a lot of wins recently. They're on like a 6-game win streak or something.
Yeah, because they beat the Grizzlies, who fucking stink.
We murdered, yeah.
Yeah, they beat the Blazers, who also stink.
Murdered.
Yeah. They beat the Warriors, who have been bad, didn't have Steph or Ray. They beat the Jazz, the Jazz are bad.
Markkanen was killing them. Those two. Markkanen's legitimately very good.
Yeah, six straight game or six straight wins. The first win against the.
Here's a question for you guys.
Uh-huh.
If you could get Markkanen, would you?
No.
Beth,
you've played never been a Markkanen guy as well.
No,
but
never.
He's
never been
a Markkanen guy. He's been very legitimately. He's been like an all-star level guy.
I'm not here to say that he is not a good player. Uh-huh.
It's a defense you obviously worry about. Like when you compare it to like a Towns, who I think was, I mean, he's been very good this year too, Towns. But like when you compare it to a Towns, like they're both two bigs, 2-7-footers who can shoot the three very well. Towns at least has some athleticism to fall back on. He's not a great defender in general, but has the athleticism to be put in the right positions. Markkanen just isn't a good defender. Period.
I
was just thinking about potential trade candidates.
That's
like
a guy.
All players who could come available
as well.
I'd be surprised if they trade him because he's still really young and they have a lot of assets and stuff. They can very quickly become an interesting team, that Jazz team.
I agree. Especially with the way that they seem to develop players as well. It seems like a really good place there right now.
Their top 10 pick hasn't even played this year, I think. Or like garbage.
Yeah.
Taylor Hendricks,
he's also apparently been really bad in the G League. Like,
yeah.
Not very good. Like shooting.
He,
41.
From what I remember, he was like a very raw player.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Not super surprising, but yeah. No, they have a lot of trade fodder that they have, you know. Lori
from the Cavs trade and from the Wolves trade, they have like eight first round picks. It feels Keontae George and Taylor Hendricks and who did they draft? Oh, they have Oya Akbaji.
Jordan Clarkson could be dealt, it wouldn't surprise me. John Collins stinks.
Yep.
Do you remember when Lakers fans were like, oh no, we should definitely trade for him? He stinks, man. Yeah, he's so bad.
You guys remember that tweet that the Hawks Twitter account put out, and it was like him and Kevin Durant saying that to each other, and it was like "goat with future goat" or something along those lines.
Oh my word! I remember I have a buddy in a Chiefs chat who is a Hawks fan, and he was like legitimately mad about that one. I'm just like, he's not good. He's not a building block. Like I don't, yeah. Like their future is Keontae George, Walker Kessler, who. Was
Kessler.
He's hurt, right?
He's hurt. He's been out for the last like seven games, but, okay. which has obviously been a big hurt to them. He's like legitimately a top five like big man defender somehow. Like, yeah. Off rip.
Yeah. And then THT, you maybe, I don't know. I think he's probably trade fodder as well. Agbaji mm-hmm. was a first round pick. Taylor Hendricks, they have to pray that he turns out. Mm-hmm. And maybe Bryce Sensabaugh. They do have Josh Christopher.
They have leeway with Hendricks, though. They
have leeway
because Keontae is really good.
Yeah, no, yeah. For sure.
That's helped them a lot.
For sure. They had, man, how many? Was Agbaji in the second round?
He was the first. He was like a top 10 pick from the Cavs, wasn't he?
Oh man, because they got Hendricks this year in the top. They were like at eight.
They didn't
nine.
Draft him. They didn't draft him. He was a part of the Donovan Mitchell trade.
He's literally a rookie this year. So I mean,
Agbaji?
Oh no, I was talking Hendricks.
Oh Hendricks, yeah, like, he was the number 10 pick.
Yeah, something like that. Okay, yeah, was Agbaji? Has he been in the league that
they,
long?
They drafted.
Years?
They drafted.
This is his second year.
Man, why does Donovan feel like he's been in? Yeah, he was drafted last year. Why does Donovan feel like he's been in Cleveland for like 3 years already? To me, that's weird.
Yeah,
because Cleveland is a place where time stops, Clay.
This is definitely true. But yeah, they have a lot of fodder, a lot of guys that you know could trade and blah blah blah. But they're not a serious team. The Rockets are. The Lakers will mm-hmm. be playing them in a few games. The third time in like 3 weeks. That's mm-hmm. not fun. They're like mm-hmm. legitimately good.
Ime Udoka really good.
Is a really.
I think
good
it helps that Udoka's a legit coach.
Yeah, really, and Brooks has
been like a flamethrower to start the year as well.
Yeah,
he's been making everything from three.
Yeah,
and I think Van Vliet hasn't been scoring as much, but he's been a very steady hand for them.
How's Cam Whitmore doing?
Right,
guys, how's Cam Whitmore doing?
He's in the G League.
If there's anyone that people should be some like has any right to be somewhat mad about in that range where the Lakers took JHS, it's like Jaime Juarez. Junior,
yeah,
Hawkins, my words. Jaime Hawkins Junior. He's legitimately good.
Yeah,
so far, but
him
like
being, him
but
being good Hawkins right off has the been bat, though, is exactly like what was expected.
Yeah,
yeah.
It is the Chris Duarte bullshit, you know. And look, Chris Duarte, his rookie year, do you not remember, was getting rookie of the year hype and all the other type of shit. He was
shooting the ball like crazy. Hawkins is at least.
No, and Hawkins is legitimately a lot more skilled. Chris Duarte is not. And that's why mm-hmm. I always said Chris Duarte was a guy that I would never have picked. And now Chris Duarte, I don't think even gets to play very much for the Kings. Shocker.
I remember when we played them last, he was like off the bench, but I don't know if that's changed it.
No.
They have a lot of guards on that roster.
Chris Duarte is not going to start there because he's not a starter. He never really was. Right. He's already 26 and a half. Like, then it's only what, his third year in the league? Yeah. I mean, last year he went from shooting 37% his rookie year to last year he shot 31.6, so essentially 32%. Like,
yeah,
he was not good last year. And he also apparently has been hurt quite a bit. But for the Kings, he's shooting less than 40% from the field and 36% from three. So that has gone up, but only 2.6 attempts. But like, he's not rebounding a ton. Like, he's just a guy. This is why I said people like freaking out about him were hysterical, because he is a Jag. He is just a guy. That's all he is. He's just a guy. but going back to
schedule,
I'm pulling it up. And my tablet is starting to freak out on me because it's...
I have it right here, if that matters.
Yeah, they got the Cavs tonight. Is Mitchell playing?
No announcement for that yet. I'll look it up if there's been any update.
All right, we'll see from there. The 76ers, after that, So the Lakers could lose two in a row, possibly. I think that they should do fine against the Cavs. The Cavs, if I remember correctly, haven't been fantastic. They're 8-7 this year. Like they just got curb stomped by the Heat. But then a game before that, they beat the 76ers and they beat the Nuggets. So they're a funny team. And
Yeah,
then
so Donovan listed as questionable. Apparently, so he tweeted the hashtag, let him know that the Cavs hashtag, and apparently he's played 84 the last 85 times he's tweeted that. I don't know. That sounds like a stat that's pulled out of nowhere, but I wouldn't be surprised if he plays. It's gonna be a tough game. The Cavs have been good
yeah,
recently.
that'll
They've won
we're gonna get the LeBron
I
play
know
game tonight.
Mobley had started off the year pretty rough.
As far as
So
I know, he's picked it up. So.
that's good for them. And then, as I said, the Sixers, they've been good. I think they're what, like first or second in the East.
Yeah, they've kind of cooled down a little bit after they started pretty hot. But Maxey's still been really good. Embiid's
Yeah.
Embiid. They're kind of deep. But
Nick
in
Nurse is a really
Philadelphia,
good coach.
Nick Nurse is a great coach. I
Yeah.
mean, I know
He's a great
Raptors fans
coach.
hated him for some reason. There's a reason why, like, Clutch was trying to get him on the Lakers, you know?
Well, and there's a big reason, right? That, we can talk about injury luck, and injury luck obviously helped, right? But there's a reason they got to the finals with, and it wasn't injury luck in the
East.
in when it came to the East. They were
Yeah.
objectively really well coached with a set. I know they had Kawhi, which helps. He's a real upgrade over DeRozan. But if Dwayne Casey is coaching that team, they do not win.
They lose to the
He should
Sixers
be
in
a
that series.
legend for life in Toronto. The fact that they hate him is weird. It is
It's
small franchise
I think
behavior.
it's I
I've
think
had
it's
enough of
because
small
of how
franchises. Ridiculous.
he didn't really like he didn't seem to like OG, and he didn't he
He also didn't like
especially
Scotty, it
Scottie,
seemed.
which
Yeah.
it sounds like both of them together are
It was
kind of
mutual.
fuckboyish. So I mean
Well,
that
shout out to
would make
Scotty. He's been really good this year, as far as I
Scottie
know,
has been
but.
really good. I think it was probably best for both parties. That it
You
had
know,
run
OG can be a
Speaking of both
fuckboy
moved
on the
on,
Lakers, by the way.
yeah, OG can definitely be a fuckboy in LA. That's fine with me.
I agree they
100%.
both should have moved on. This fan shouldn't hate Nick Nurse.
Oh yeah.
It makes no sense to me.
It's
That's my point.
yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Toronto fans are some of the fucking weirdest fans out there. I don't get them.
Okay, so Cam Reddish is not playing tonight.
That's not shocking. But oh well. Yeah, no, apparently the 76ers have lost two in a row, so they're now 10 and 5, which that means that they are fourth in the East. By the way, we were upset about losing to the Orlando Magic.
They're good,
Second
man.
seed in the East, man. They're
They
11
are.
and
They've
5.
beaten the Celtics and the Nuggets back to back, by the way.
It's just they're so good. Like
Their
we were
defense
mad
is
about that.
legit.
We were
Hey,
mad about that game, or like just kind of like, ugh, that's just a Lakers
man.
thing. And
Fuck
we
Jonathan
let them
Isaac,
five.
but he is so fucking good defensively. It is
He is.
ridiculous.
I just wish he wasn't a fucking MAGA cunt. But
Paolo's been
he is.
awesome. Franz Wagner has been awesome.
Yeah.
They've been so good, and their defense is like legit. They're like, who's their
Oh yeah.
coach? Who's their head coach?
Is it?
Jamal
It's.
Mosley.
Mosley,
Yeah.
yeah, that's who it is.
Yeah.
Yeah,
He's. They've been.
the
And
guy
they've
that
been
the
horrible.
Dallas Mavs should have chose,
Yeah.
ironically.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. But. Yeah.
Even guys like Mo Wagner, Mo has
Mo's been
improved
solid for them.
leaps and bounds, like legitimately has. I know we clown him for being Magic's pick, and he was, and that deserves clowning because, Magic Johnson is the worst executive in basketball history.
He just
But.
wanted to. He just wanted to tweet, guys. He just wanted to tweet. Okay.
Then don't accept that job. Like,
I don't think I
Oh,
can.
God.
I don't think I can legally talk about Magic Johnson as anything other than a player.
I will say this: that right before the last game interview he had, when he was essentially like, "I'm leaving," is pretty iconic at this point. It's an iconic interview at this
Isn't
point.
it though objectively hilarious? The
It's the
season
funniest
after he
thing.
leaves, the
Yeah.
Lakers win a championship.
Yeah, It's, I mean, he was, he also, wasn't he a coach for the Lakers for like a season or something?
Or like, no, yeah. He was like 20 games.
Yeah, just, and he was just so and bad. He, at
they
that.
Were like 4-16 or something.
Oh, God. Yeah, man. Just terrible. Anyways, after the 76ers, they play the Pistons. If that is not a win,
that game's going to be annoyingly close. I'm lying about
oh,
I'm
yeah.
Lying
to oh, yeah.
Get that no. right now.
But like it's going to what I think it is it's going to be is that the Lakers are going to go into the fourth quarter down by like 4 and we're all going to be like what the fuck. And then
they've lost what 10 straight at this point.
I think it's like 12.
It makes me sad because I really like the players on that team. I like the prospects.
They've lost 13 in a row, man. 13. The only team that is comparatively as bad is the Wizards, which oh man. That one
they're, is they are hilarious.
That makes you so happy, doesn't it, Clay?
It does. It.
I saw something that
I don't have vitriol for Jordan Poole like a lot of Lakers fans do. I don't particularly like him.
I don't care about him though.
Like, oh, I don't hate him.
Yeah, I don't care about.
He's
him.
Hilarious, is what he is. Oh, he's man, so funny.
It's hysterical. He would rather he. I mean,
even when the baddies were courtside, when there was legitimately like an IG model who did a bet like. On him scoring over 15 points, and he scored 18 while she was in the arena. Oh, the funniest thing! So that the baddies meme is dead. The courtside baddies meme that's dead at this point.
Yeah, yeah. He is bad. And Kyle Kuzma, I said,
is worse. Is
I
worse.
Said, I'm not like, is yeah, worse. Yeah. Like I don't. I man. Like
the only bright spot for them is that Koulibaly's actually been solid.
I haven't paid attention enough to the Wizards. All I've been there is to laugh, really especially at those two. Kyle Kuzma made a layup with like 3 seconds left in the game when they were down by 3.
Oh, there
with
was
no timeouts left as well. With no timeouts left.
Yeah,
like it.
What? Like this is why we hated him so much on the Lakers is because he is so brain stupid that it's just incredible. Like, no awareness at all, whether it be, like, of how good or bad he is or time stuff. Like, that, like, he is now being paid, what, it's like $30 million a year? It's just
something like that.
Stupid money that they gave him. He is being paid as a franchise cornerstone. And,
well,
same with Jordan Poole. Yeah. Both of those dudes have some of the least amount of awareness in the NBA. It's incredible. Oh.
I've already seen reports that they're looking to trade Jordan Poole because they don't want him around for the future.
Are we serious?
Seriously, I'm not kidding. I've seen reports about that. That they don't see him as a franchise cornerstone and they want to get rid of him.
Oh, man. They didn't even have to give anything up for him, too. That's the incredible thing.
Yeah, they were a part of that Chris Paul deal, essentially. Yeah. They got Chris Paul. They traded Chris Paul for Jordan Poole.
Yeah, no, that is talk about a fall from grace, man. Like, He went from being like people were saying like he is going
a future all-star.
Yeah,
that's what people were talking about, like.
Oh, he was like when that final.
He was really good in that finals run.
Yeah, like there was an argument that he was the second best player. I don't even know if it's an argument. He was the second best player for the Warriors, and then all of a sudden, like he is now.
No, Draymond punched the good basketball. Out of him, is what happened.
He was yeah.
Draymond punched the ability to play basketball. It's like a monster in situation.
Backpack Pat punched the mustache. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I don't understand the mustache coming back. It just reminds me of, like, the 90s. And Luka, please shave it. Like, I couldn't take him seriously with that. That was just awful.
Bless Draymond.
Whoa. You just love your men can pull it off. Sorry. Absolutely can.
No.
Sorry to burst your bubble.
Luca can't. Love Luca, but like he does not pull off a tough guy for him. You know who could do it, and I can 100% buy it? Nikola Jokic. And I think it would. I would love it. I need it to have it.
Oh man, I just need another Allen rant about Jokic because
that about Jokic and his horses.
Yeah, I loved it. I haven't laughed that hard in a while. That was good.
It's being propagated by Big Horse. They want you to think you're muted. You're muted.
you know how much I love Jokic. I love it. Objectively. Like, I really, really do. You guys know how great a person I think he is. Obviously, his basketball ability is unparalleled at the moment. Like, he's that good. But my God, stop that BS charade that you do, Nikola. It pisses off everyone in the ex-Yugoslavia. And that's where you're going to want to live. Like, objectively, everyone's going to hate you, bro. I mean, they won't really, but, you know.
No, of course. He's going to be the greatest Baltic player ever, right? I mean.
Not Baltic. That's Lithuania and shit.
Oh, my bad. Whatever the hell it is. I'm sorry.
Whoa, Mr. North Dakota. That's what I'm going to start calling you, because that's the difference North right Dakota. There. Yeah,
like, I didn't
that's
know.
What we're talking about. Don't you worry.
There's a word for it. What is the word? Oh, Balkan. That's what I meant to say.
Disgraceful. I put you on my friend, good sir.
I am your friend. My friend. Oh, you love me, Alan.
But yeah, the Lakers are going to win tonight. As we lose. And we lose by 34 tomorrow.
Really quick, how the Lakers had a stretch of winnable, really winnable games, and the Lakers went what, 3-2, 5, four and two, 5-2, 6-2.
Home stretch.
Yeah. From the Suns game to that Mavericks game, they won 6-6 and lost 2. The next six games, the Cavs. Going to be tough. Sixers going to be tough. Pistons should be a win, but you never know.
Whoa, it's the Isaiah Stewart revenge game, guys.
Right?
My God, I forgot about that.
The Thunder should be a tough one. The Rockets will be a tough one, and then they play the Mavericks again.
Let's see how the Thunder look after all.
Giddy hasn't been that good this year. It's been Shea and Casey Wallace.
Why is there a weird 10-day break between games? Am I missing something?
10-day break. I mean, look, Pistons, Thunder, Rockets, Lakers.
From December 2nd to December 12th, they don't have a game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. You know what it is? It's the end season game. So we'll play the Suns the 4th or the 5th. We'll play the Suns in Los Angeles the 4th or the 5th.
So fucking weird.
So then it would be, if we win that game, I'm guessing the finals will be on like the 7th or the 8th, if I want to say.
So I'm guessing if I were to go through all these games, it wouldn't all add up to 82 because there's the in-season tournament shit that has to
It should be included because the game against the Jazz was an in-season tournament game.
No, I know. It's just not listed on games. Like,
that's weird.
On Google.
Oh.
Let me also, I've got that calendar. Yeah, no, nothing on the calendar. It's like from the 2nd, seriously, from December 2nd to the 12th, there's no games on the calendar.
Yeah, so I think if you're on ESPN, it has like to be determined for like the whole NBA.
So that's what I'm saying with the in-season tournament games. It's not a scheduled pool one or whatever, it's then after that it's that TBD, so it's just not listed as when it that's so weird.
It'll be at most two games in that 10 day span.
But then after that, the Thunder, that'll be an interesting one, and then the Rockets, Mavs, and then we get to see the Lakers play Wembanyama twice in a row.
Wembanyama. He's kind of cooled off a little bit. It's been more. I think Chet has really taken over some of the rookie of the year hype the last week or so, because Chet's been really good.
Yeah. I also I think part of it though is the Thunder. If I look at the Thunder, are 11-4, while the Spurs are 3-13. So
yeah.
By the way, I love how bad the Spurs are, because
don't boo. Popovich will be mad.
Well, Greg Popovich was talking shit as he was kicking Kawhi out the door. Like, fuck off, dude. Like, don't try and make yourself out to be, you know, like, because there's a lot of good things.
We don't do this. Have you not been to a Spurs playoff game, dude? We don't do this. Get the fuck out of here.
Right? But the Thunder are the 2 seed in the West, which is the fact that the Nuggets have lost two in a row and just are now the fifth seed is just so weird to me.
Murray.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. Before we end this, because obviously we're kind of done talking Laker stuff when we just went on random shit because that's what we do. Yeah. You have until you know for the play-in tournament, the play-in games for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be at least a 10th seed, right? I want to know, who do you guys think falls, if there's a team that falls out and like the Clippers make it? Because like, you gotta think the Clippers, while we love making fun of them, they're 6-8 and they have played like 3 less games than the Warriors. So like they could of course like lose all three of those games and then be.
And they play the Thunder today?
The Clippers? Oh man, if they do, they're gonna lose, man.
No, they play the Mavericks tonight.
Okay. Oh yeah, you said that before we started recording, I think. That'll be a tough one for them.
The Clippers might dig themselves a hole that's too deep to get out of.
No, I agree. They're just not. They have the star power, obviously, but like Kawhi isn't what he was. Paul George has been really good, but I mean,
are you telling me the game that he had against the Lakers was a fluke and not what his real image of what the season's been? Because apparently they get really horny when they play the Lakers.
I know.
Like, brother, if you care about the Lakers that much, why didn't you choose to play for him? It makes no sense. It's weird. Get over yourself. It's been 3 years.
I know. But like,
to answer your question, Clayton,
if the Clippers somehow make it in, what is the team that falls out? It seems like it to me.
The Rockets.
I was going to say the Pelicans.
That's what I thought I was looking at as well, but I think there's a chance the Rockets could just kind of fall off a little. I can see it happening.
I could see the Rockets falling off for sure. I trust
the talent on the Pelicans more than the talent on the Rockets.
The thing is I may trust the talent on the Pelicans more. I don't trust them to stay healthy.
Their ability to be on the
court. BI is going to miss another 10 to 15 games just because it's BI, and which is really unfortunate because I love him. Zion, do I need to say anymore?
How many games is Zion playing? I'm trying to look. How many games he played this year?
I don't know.
If he's played a lot of them.
But, yeah, sure.
He's played majority of the games for the Pelicans this season.
But, like, are we really going to say, like, that he's not going to miss a ton of games?
Oh, no, because, yeah, I'm not like, saying. He's played 13 this year, so he's played most of the games.
Yeah, he's played most of the games. And he's been good.
Oh, yeah, he's been 23-5-5. Awesome. I'm saying the rebounding number is down that much.
Yeah,
it seems like they've been I'm weird and watch basketball teams that make no sense. But when I've watched him, it seems like he's not been as aggressive rebounding, which may just be a directive from the team going, if we can minimize your risk of injury at the start of the season as much as we possibly can, then
I mean they have Jonas, who is a really good
exactly,
rebounder,
and he's been awesome rebounding wise, and. They're a good team. I don't think they're anything more. They're nothing more. They're good, right?
Yeah, Herb Jones is really good. They are kind of missing Trey Murphy, who was really good last year, but he's out for most of the season, it sounds like.
Which is a shame.
Because he was really good. That's one guy who, like, the Lakers liked, right?
Trey Murphy? Yeah, liked
him. They did. CJ's also only played 6 games because didn't, like, his lung collapse, or was that just...
Oh, yeah. No. I think Woes or Shams.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean,
I remember it because he clowned like a Clutch Hoops or one of those weird Twitter sites. Mm-hmm. They tweeted it like it was a graphic of him scoring like 40 points.
Yeah.
He collapsed long and he clowned him for it, which I thought was hilarious.
I mean, like, they've played 16 games so far, and Brandon's missed 3, Zion's missed 3, Herb has missed 3. That's just kind of concerning. I will say, while Jonas is a good rebounder, he's only getting 8 a game or almost 9 a game. It feels like he should be getting more, but I guess they do have a good rebound through everyone.
They have Larry Nance and Cody Zeller and guys like that as well.
Yeah. So it's
just Herb. I think Herb's a good rebounder as well.
Herb has 4. Jordan Hawkins has 4. Dyson Daniels has 5. Zion essentially at 6. B.I. at 5. And C.J. McCollum at almost 5 when he plays. I would think it's the Pelicans that fall out.
Yeah, health permitting, I think it's the Rockets, but yeah, they're definitely more susceptible to getting Zion out for a month or Brand out for a month sort of thing.
I think the reason why I have a hard time saying the Rockets instead is because, like, one, their coach is really good.
Yeah, I see a lot of people turn on Willie Green for the Pelicans.
And like Willie Green, I think Willie is fine, but like.
Yeah.
You know, I think the Rockets just we joked, like, they gave Dylan Brooks way too much money. Full stop. Way too much money. Despite how he's been playing. It was way too much. I think they gave Fred VanVleet too much money. That said, like, they are playing better. So I think
and guys like Jalen Green and Jabari Smith have been really good.
I mean, they got Tari Houston, who's played well.
Oh, I mean, Sengun. How can I not mention Sengun? He's been their best player.
Yeah, I mean, like, Amen Thompson has had his ups and downs, but, you know, he's a rookie, you know.
Yeah.
I just think that with Ime Udoka, like, Udoka or whatever, is just a better coach, and he'll get the most out of them.
Yeah.
We'll have to see, but I feel like it's the Pelicans that fall out, even though I think, like, they're built a little bit better. It's just I don't trust the health of their two now 3 best players, because I don't even know how it happened to CJ, but like that's not a minor thing, a lung collapsing, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of whatever. But all right, random NBA talk after everything. Was there anything else that you guys wanted to touch on before we wrap things up?
It was kind of a quiet week. Lakers, I mean, they played a lot, but like quiet week in terms of like new stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, just waiting for the guys to get healthy, really.
Yep. That is, I think, the crazy thing of just how they went from too many wings to now
having one healthy wing.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the wings who have been hurt. All people who've been hurt having wings, essentially.
Yeah.
And Gabe Vincent.
And historically, they're not people who've missed loads of game time either, which is the worst thing.
Yep. Yeah. The Lakers still have, what, 2 open roster spots?
Is it 2?
Because you can have up to 17 players because you have 3 two-ways. And the Lakers
have 14 people signed to full NBA contracts. So one spot.
Who am I missing? Oh, because
Jalen?
Because no, because Taurean hasn't been hasn't played. He wasn't on the thing. And Jalen Hood-Schifino. They haven't played, they didn't show. I was looking at the per game instead of the roster. I wasn't paying attention to that. So I guess they do have only one roster spot open. But
yeah, I've seen some people try like say like I get like a Devontae Green or like a Stanley Johnson, which I'd be open to one of those guys. But
Stanley,
I don't know if they
after I don't after think they want to come a Stanley Johnson truther, and then him coming to LA and shining. I would do that. I mean, he can play the 3-4. He'd be fine. I would be happy with that. I wish he never was involved in that fucking Utah trade for Patrick Beverley.
I wish we just all made that wish. Trade, period.
That trade never should have happened. Never. Never.
I hate
Patrick. Russell Westbrook ruined the Lakers' career of Taylor Horton Tucker. I'll always say it. He ruined anything that they could have had with him because they always played him with THD.
I agree. All right, I think that's it. Hopefully next week we'll have more. Also, next week we'll possibly have Raj on. He had a music festival. Shout out to Raj.
What an idiot.
I know, doing right? Having a life? Man.
What a freak.
What a terrible. I love you, Raj. Love you, Raj. Anyways, I think that's it. Thank you all for listening. Alan and Merge, you're awesome. Love you guys. And I think that's it. Bye.
Peace.